Ballots are being mailed out today to part-time instructors at Point Park University, where leaders of a faculty unionization effort are predicting adjunct professors will vote to join the United Steelworkers. That makes Point Park the newest battleground in a citywide campaign to organize Pittsburgh's higher education workforce. It's part of a broader reorganization of labor under the city's new EDS and MEDS economy, whose workforce relies increasingly on highly educated workers like Clint Benjamin. As an English professor, Benjamin spends a lot of his time grading papers.
There's a mountain, a teetering Matterhorn of papers at the end of the weekend, and you've got, or, you know, during the week, and you've just got to get through them.
Benjamin has two jobs, teaching English and writing classes at the Community College of Allegheny County and at Duquesne University.
I don't know, I'd say 30 to 40 hours maybe outside of class.
And that's just time spent each week grading papers. There's also meetings, emails, office hours, commuting between campuses, and yes, prepping and teaching five sections worth of undergraduate classes every week. For his troubles, Benjamin earns between $25,000 and $30,000 a year and no benefits. That's if he's lucky enough to get sufficient work. All reasons why Benjamin recently took on a third job as an organizer with the Steelworkers Adjunct Faculty Association, which recently led a successful effort to organize part-time faculty at Duquesne. With help from USW, Duquesne adjuncts voted overwhelmingly to form a union in 2012. 2 years later, they're still fighting the university for recognition, but they're not waiting to organize more workers on other city campuses. Next stop, Point Park University, where part-time faculty account for nearly three-quarters of instructional staff, according to the most recent federal data. That makes the school ripe for unionization, according to organizer and Duquesne adjunct Robin Sowards.
Point Park faculty are among the lowest paid in the city and receive among the least support. And subject to really rather draconian employment conditions.
Point Park disputes that characterization. In a written statement, the school says more than half its courses are taught by full-time employees in accordance with state standards, while the majority of its adjuncts hold other full-time jobs elsewhere. Point Park spokesman Lou Carcero also says the school's minimum pay rate for adjuncts of $2,100 per three-credit course is, quote, competitive with other comparably sized private universities. But those national benchmarks may be beside the point. For labor's purposes, it's the local wage standard that matters. And here's where Pittsburgh's transformation from a manufacturing economy to one based on healthcare, tech, and higher education comes in.
One more time for the UPMC workers! What do we want? When do we want it?
What do PhD-educated college professors at Point Park have in common with custodial workers at UPMC Presbyterian? Stephen Hertzenberg with the left-leaning Keystone Research Center in Harrisburg says both are employed in what economists call non-mobile services. That is, unlike manufacturing jobs, they're hard to outsource.
The bedpans in the Allegheny Hospital can't be emptied in Tijuana or in Shanghai.
That goes for McNuggets, too, by the way. Hertzenberg says it's a big reason you've been hearing so much lately about fast food workers striking for better pay.
Most of the jobs, including the vast majority of the jobs that pay a poverty wage, close to the minimum wage, can't go anywhere because they're tied to where the customer is.
That's true to a somewhat lesser extent in higher ed, where there's been a big push in recent years toward massively open online courses or MOOCs, as well as other forms of online instruction. But Hertzenberg says there's ultimately no getting around the need for individual human interaction in college-level classes, especially when it comes to teaching process-intensive skills like writing. And that could be a key advantage for adjuncts and non-tenure stream faculty who account for a broad majority of instructional staff on U.S. campuses.
Organizing efforts among contingent faculty absolutely have the ability within the metro area to establish new wage and benefit norms.
That part about within a metro area is actually key. That's because colleges that share a location also draw from the same labor pool. So if wages go up at one school, there's less pressure on teachers to accept a lower wage at the others. It's the same reason the Service Employees International Union has recently set its sights on UPMC. Hertzenberg says if the union succeeds in raising wages at the region's largest employer, they'll be two-thirds of the way toward establishing a substantially higher regional wage standard across the entire service sector. Sourd says the metro-level organizing approach has other technical advantages, too.
Administrators, even tenure stream faculty, are to some extent penned within the four walls of their own institution, whereas adjuncts are dispersed across the whole city. And that's one of the things that's disadvantageous. We're stuck having to have multiple jobs. But it also means that we already have, in a way, a citywide network. We're already interconnected across institutions.
It's already happening in Philadelphia, where both SEIU and the American Federation of Teachers have announced plans to build citywide collective bargaining units. Similar efforts are also underway in Boston, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C. There's reason to believe modern unions can make better inroads in the non-mobile services sector than in manufacturing, where the movement came of age in the last century. Compare the results of Duquesne's 2012 NLRB election, 85% of adjuncts in favor of the union, with last February's vote at a Volkswagen plant in Tennessee. Workers there rejected representation by the United Auto Workers, even though the company's management did not oppose it. But even if adjuncts are well-positioned to build networks with other academics, there may be some cultural barriers to overcome. Journalist and labor historian Ted McClelland writes about the intersection of social and economic identities in his latest book on the collapse of the Rust Belt's industrial middle class. A major theme is the way stereotypes can lead working people to misconstrue their role in the economy.
Middle-class jobs have traditionally been thought of as jobs, you know, you do in an office.
Right.
But I think a lot of office workers are certainly not as well paid as, you know, a lot of industrial workers, and definitely not as well paid as tradesmen. We might think of them as blue collar and as working class, but they're definitely making more money than, say, than an adjunct professor.
McClelland says if academic workers are going to play a role in a reconfigured eds and meds labor movement, it may entail some cultural work, getting blue collar workers to see their interests as linked with those of professors and vice versa. He says many white-collar workers still view themselves as middle class, despite decades of stagnating wages, rising debt, and dwindling opportunities.
Well, I mean, I think part of it is the labor movement's fault. I mean, it hasn't done a good enough job of expanding, the consciousness of labor, or the consciousness of the union movement beyond blue-collar workers.
Sourds says that transformation may be a long time coming among some tenure-stream faculty, but he thinks adjuncts understand the situation just fine.
They recognize immediately that they're low-wage workers. Having a spectacularly low wage helps that.
Sourds says partnering with the steelworkers makes sense, in part because USW has a long history of representing workers in sectors other than heavy industry. But he says in economic terms, adjuncts are no different from any other low-wage workers in the new economy.
From our point of view, college professors aren't some rare and fabulous and special breed that needs special and exotic protections, but are ordinary workers who deserve a living wage just like other workers in this city at UPMC or at other organizations around town where they're enormous revenues that are just not reaching the bulk of the employees.
Contingent faculty at Point Park have until June 24th to return their ballots, with official results due back from the National Labor Relations Board by the end of the month. For 90.5 WESA News, I'm Josh Rawlerson.